So you may, if you've got your Bibles with you, want to turn to Luke's Gospel and to chapter 1. This, of course, is the 1st of December, beginning of Advent, that period where we are waiting with expectation for Jesus to come, although obviously Jesus, we recognise, came, lived, died, rose again, and now we, the church, wait for his second coming. I've got a confession to make. You don't mind church leaders making confessions, do you? Confession is, I'm not a very patient person. I hate traffic jams. They drive me to distraction. I hate sitting, waiting for a computer to make up its mind what it's going to do when you switch it on, and all you see is the thing going round and round and round and round. I really am an impatient person, unless I'm fishing. If I'm fishing, I can sit there all day long and wait for something to happen. Quite why there's that difference, I'm not sure. But generally speaking, I find delay is so, so frustrating. You ring up and you get an answer phone that says, we will be with you as soon as we possibly can. Why don't you listen to some ropey music while you're waiting? It's so annoying. And I don't know about you, but do you sometimes find that it gets frustrating when it seems that God delays in doing what you want him to do? But I want us to learn this morning a little lesson. Delay is not denial. Delay is not denial. And we're going to learn this lesson as we read together from Luke chapter 1 about a man called Zechariah. And this is what the Bible tells us. I'm reading from the New Living Translation. You follow in whatever translation you may have. Picking up from verse 5. It all begins with a Jewish priest, Zechariah, who lived when Herod was king of Judea. Zechariah was a member of the priestly order of Abijah. His wife Elizabeth was also from the priestly line of Aaron. Zechariah and Elizabeth were righteous in God's eyes, careful to obey all of the Lord's commandments and regulations. They had no children because Elizabeth was barren, and now they were both very old. I can identify with that. One day, Zechariah was serving God in the temple, for his order was on duty that week. As was the custom of the priests, he was chosen by lot to enter the sanctuary and burn incense in the Lord's presence. While the incense was being burned, a great crowd stood outside praying. Zechariah was in the sanctuary when an angel of the Lord appeared, standing to the right of the incense altar. Zechariah was overwhelmed with fear. But the angel said, "Don't be afraid, Zechariah, for God has heard your prayer, and your wife Elizabeth will bear you a son, and you are to name him John. You will have great joy and gladness, and many will rejoice with you at his birth, for he will be great in the eyes of the Lord. He must never touch wine or hard liquor, and he will be filled with the Holy Spirit even before his birth." That's an interesting statement. Filled with the Holy Spirit even before his birth. "And he will persuade many Israelites to turn to the Lord their God. He will be a man with the spirit and power of Elijah, the prophet of old. He will precede the coming of the Lord, preparing the people for his arrival. He will turn the hearts of the fathers to their children, and he will change disobedient minds to accept godly wisdom." Zechariah said to the angel, "How can I know this will happen? I'm an old man now, and my wife is also well along in years." Then the angel said, I am Gabriel. I stand in the very presence of God. It was he who sent me to bring you this good news. And now, since you didn't believe what I said, you won't be able to speak until the child is born. For my words will certainly come true at the proper time. Meanwhile, the people were waiting for Zechariah to come out, wondering why he was taking so long. When he finally did come out, he couldn't speak to them. Then they realized from his gestures that he must have seen a vision in the temple sanctuary. May God bless his word to us. Delay. Delay can create within us some real challenges that we see evident in the life of Zechariah. See, the first thing that we notice that delay does, as far as Zechariah and Elizabeth was concerned, is that it creates a downward spiral. You can imagine in those early days of marriage, there were Zechariah and Elizabeth just looking forward to that time when they would receive and know the news that Elizabeth was expecting. And as the days went by, as the weeks went by, as the months went by, and as the years went by, and nothing happened, delay was evident. So it was that there was less and less of an expectancy that this event would ever happen. The Bible tells us that they were praying. The Bible tells us that they were in tune with God. The Bible tells us that they were committed to serving God. The Bible tells us that they were worshippers. But nevertheless, what they dreamt for, what they hoped for, just not seemed to come to fruition. I'm going to say for some of you, it's so easy for you to reach that same place where because the prayer that you have been praying has not yet been answered, you are seeing it as denial rather than delay. And there is almost that sense in which you are giving up hope. You see, that's what happened for Zechariah. He began at first to have that bright sense of confidence that God would answer. But eventually there came a point where we see it in the response he gives to the angel Gabriel, when the angel Gabriel says, your prayer's now been answered. And what Zechariah says, hold on a moment. No, it's too late now. It's too late now. How can I be sure of this? You see, he now had this doubt within his heart. He looked at his circumstances. He looked at his life. He looked at all the years that had gone by, and he decided, it's too late now. It's too late now. You need to know it's never too late as far as God is concerned. God's timing is always the right timing. You see, God had a plan and purpose in the life of this child that Zechariah and Elizabeth were going to bear, but the timing of the child's coming was in time with the eternal plan that God had as regards to the coming of his own son and saviour, Jesus Christ. You need to know, some of you, that the prayer has not yet been answered because the time is not right. You also need to see that in the life of Zechariah, as the doubts began to pour out, as he said to the angel, I just can't see how this can be, there was also a diminished view of who he was. You see, his words were, I'm an old man. Do you know, as we get on in age, and I'm aware of that myself as I gradually have got older, that there is the danger that you can get to the point where you begin to think that God can't use you like he used to. And we have to be those who understand that God sees us differently sometimes as how we see ourselves. God sees the potential in you. God sees what he can accomplish through you. God sees what he can do in your life. So often we see in the Bible that God calls people at the time they least expect it. And very often they are people who are not just young, although he does call the young, but he also calls the elderly as well. Moses didn't get going until he was 80. And we see that Caleb was able to, at his ripe old age of 80, say, I've still got the strength I need. I've still got the vision you've given me. I've still got the hopes that are there to see this mountain conquered. As a church, do not allow the view of how you see, as you see yourselves, to diminish your view of what God can accomplish in you and through you. See, it very often can happen that when we go through a season where it seems as though there's lots of challenges and lots of things going on, and we feel weak and we feel uncertain, that we begin to think that God can't do too much with us. But you see, God could see all the potential that there was in Elizabeth and in Zechariah that they could not see. It has to be said that clearly this birth in itself was going to be miraculous, because old age meant that barrenness was the outcome. But God was going to turn the clock back. God was going to do something amazing. God was going to do something powerful in their lives in order that they might be able to accomplish his plans and purposes. So although Zechariah saw himself as diminished, God saw what he could do through him for his glory. But because of that diminished view, then there needed to be time for Zechariah to learn the lesson that God is the God who can do more than you could ever think or imagine. And so the lesson that he was to learn was that he was to be told that he could not speak for a period of time. Sometimes Maureen tells me that she wishes that I would shut up, because I am a man of many words. But you see, there's something about silence, isn't there? There's something about being unable to communicate. So for Zechariah, when the angel said, look, Zechariah, you haven't believed me. So as a result of you haven't believed me, you are now going to lose the ability to speak until the moment that what I've said comes to pass. And my suspicion is that during that time of silence, that was the opportunity for Zechariah to be transformed in his thinking and understanding of who God was and what God could do. In that moment of silence and quietness, it would have given him the opportunity to reflect and to connect with heaven itself. That is why for us, as the people of God, it's important that we have what we sometimes call our quiet times. Though sometimes I think in our quiet times, certainly for me, I spend more time speaking than I do listening. And it's important that we not only do speak and share our hearts and our thoughts with our Heavenly Father, but we also need to be people who listen to what he has to say to you. I don't know about any of your friends or your partners, but certainly Maureen sometimes says to me, you haven't listened to me. And she's absolutely right. Sometimes she can be saying something, I'll be thinking about something else. Sometimes she can be saying something and I am concentrating on something else. And it becomes very obvious when at the end of the conversation, she says, did you actually listen to a word I said to you? And I have to say, I'm ever so sorry. Could you repeat it, please? I sometimes think that Heavenly Father gets frustrated with me like that, Because sometimes he wants to speak to me and I don't give him the time to get a word in. I don't allow him the opportunity to say what he wants to say. For the church leadership here in this new time and this new season, it is important for you to have listening ears. Not only should you have listening ears, but you have to recognize that what you hear may not be what you expect. That was the case for Zechariah. He did not expect to hear what he heard. That was not in his plans at all. I tried to imagine what it'd be like at my age to have a baby in the house. And as much as I love my grandchildren, and my grandchildren are all sort of rapidly getting older now, my youngest grandchild is now 14. But one of the things was that when the children visited and the babies came, it was lovely to have them for a while. But it was great that I could hand them back and go back to a bit more of a restful, quiet life. Imagine if you're in your 70s or 80s and you've now got a baby. What joy that must bring. Those sleepless nights, those nappies that need to be changed, all the things that go with having a baby. So, although the prayer was answered, probably as far as Zechariah and Elizabeth were concerned, there was a sense of, I do wish you'd done this earlier, God. And when God spoke to him, Zechariah said, this didn't fit in with the way I saw things, not at my age. Some of you need to know that at your age, do not discount what God may do and the way God may move in and through your life. And you might be shocked by what he says and the way he moves. But recognize as well that as you allow God to do what he wants to do and are receptive to what he wants to do, that you will see how God will give you the strength and the power and the ability to accomplish what you thought could never be accomplished. As a church, have an expectation that something new is going to be birthed. It will not be the same as it was. It will bring, in some respects, a bit of a shock and a bit of a change into how you see things and how you expect things. But be aware, it's part of God's timing, it's part of God's provision, and it's part of the way that God is leading. And so Zechariah, in his silence, got in touch with heaven. In his silence, he began to understand what it was to listen carefully to what God had to say to him. In his silence, his relationship with his heavenly Father grew deeper and richer. Until the delivery date. Until the moment when the birth was to take place. It's a long while ago now since I had my children. But I can remember as a young dad. And in those days, you couldn't go with your wife to be present when the child was born. You had to stay at home and wait. And the expectation, the excitement, in some ways the uncertainty, in some ways the concern and the worry, were all part and parcel of that moment when you were waiting for the call to say, the baby's arrived. Mum and child are doing well. And then the joy and the excitement of going along to visit and to see this child that has been given to you and that you now have responsibility for. And so it was that the time came for Zechariah and Elizabeth to experience all those emotions as their son was born. Not the time they expected, not the age of life they expected, not the way they expected, but this was the date that God had set in his calendar. God has a program and a plan for your life. God has a program and a plan for the life of this church. The key is that we have to set in motion the willingness to tie in and be in tune with his program and his timing. He is not going to alter what he has in place to fit in with what you want and the way you want to go. He wants you to be ready and willing to say, right, Lord, when is the right moment? When is the right time? When is this dream going to come into fruition? When is this birth going to take place? When is this new thing going to happen? When is this opportunity going to come? When is this ministry going to rise in my life? When is it going to be that opportunity that I'm going to see change and transformation take place? When is it that I'm going to know a deeper experience of your spirit? When is it I'm going to be in tune with what you have to say and do in my life at this very moment? Because as we tune in to his program and his plan, then we will see such amazing things accomplished. The delivery date comes. The baby is there. And now John's voice is released. Now John has the opportunity to say some words which he's not been able to say for 9 months. Now he has the opportunity to say something and express himself. And what does the Bible tell us? His expression and his words that burst from his lips are ones of praise and ones of worship, ones that exalt God and glorify God for the amazing things he's done. See, Zechariah says is this, and this is his story, his testimony. He says, the Lord has done this for me. The Lord has done this for me. What Zechariah discovered was that he could depend upon God because delay was not denial. I say to you, you can depend upon God because he is dependable. You can put your confidence and assurance in what he says he will do, he will do. The reason that you and I who follow Jesus are able to say with confidence and without doubt, one day we are going to see him and we're going to be in his presence is not rooted on anything about what we do, but rooted upon the dependency that we have in him. Because Jesus himself said, I'm going to prepare a place for you, that where I am, you will be also. That is my expectation. That is my hope. I don't know what day it will be. I do not know the moment when I will be called home. But I know that there will come a time in God's program and in God's plan when God will say, right, Dave Redbone, the moment to step from this mortal life into eternal life is now. Come home to me. And so it is that you can depend upon God. Whatever you might be struggling with today, you can depend upon him, that he will give you the strength you need. He will supply what you're looking for. In the hopes and the dreams you have, you can depend upon him, that if he has given to you a promise, then you can be absolutely confident he will keep that promise. That's why earlier on, I was able to say again that for those of us who knew and loved Jesus, there is no condemnation in us. No, we're not perfect. Of course we make mistakes. But you see, the Bible tells me that through the shed blood of Jesus, I am forgiven. I am set free. I am therefore no longer under condemnation. I can now come with boldness into the presence of God. We have a dependable God who will not let us down. It led to one final thing. It was a discovery that Zechariah and Elizabeth made. And the discovery was this, that God is a God who loves to show his favour. This is what Zechariah said. In these days, he has shown his favour on us. I'm so glad that God is a God who loves to give so liberally. We're coming up to the Christmas period. I don't know what plans you have in place for Christmas. I don't know what gifts you may receive or what gifts you may be giving. What I know is this, we can never outgive God. God is a God who loves to pour out his favour upon us. God is a God who loves to give, the Bible says, pressed down, shaken together, and overflowing. He wants his favour to rest on you. He wants his blessing to rest on you. And it's not because you deserve it. It's got nothing to do with deserving. It's because God's heart of love is such that he wants to give to us even though we do not deserve it. That's what the word grace means. Unmerited favour. So John Newton, as he wrote those words and penned that song, amazing grace, how sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me. I once was lost, but now I'm found. Was blind, but now I see. That's the favour of God. That's the greatest gift that could ever be given. The gift of his only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him would not perish, but would have everlasting life. Delay is not denial. If you're in that place of delay, I can understand your frustration. I understand your aggravation. I can understand you saying, God, will you please hurry up? But understand this. Father sees all of that, and he doesn't condemn you for it. He understands our humanity. But his program, his timing, his purposes, his plans, they are the priority. And it will come to fruition at the moment he's ready to release what he wants to release in order that he might be glorified, his kingdom might come, and that you might be amazed at how awesome God is. God bless you. Desire, Father, that there will be such an outpouring of your love, such an outpouring of your spirit, such an outpouring of your power, that our communities and our nation will be changed and transformed as the evidence of your glory and majesty is revealed to them through your people, as we ourselves are changed and transformed. Our cry for revival is that, Lord, as you break out in revival power, start the work in us, transform us, enable us to reflect your glory, enable us to reflect your majesty, enable us to carry the words of hope and of life to a nation that needs to see that you are the one that comes to bring blessing and favour on those who receive you. And so we just thank you for each other. Thank you for being present with us. Pray, Father, that for the words that have been heard, for the songs that have been sung, they will resonate with us through this coming week, encouraging us and challenging us. And that, Lord, as we continue to live out our lives, walking with Jesus, so it will be that Christ will be seen in us, the hope of glory. And now may the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the fellowship and blessing of the Holy Spirit rest and abide with you all, now and forevermore. Amen.